something completely Christmassy.
Welcome to Shout Out. Down your chimney and into your stocking. Hello and a very happy new year to you, and welcome to Shout Out. I'm all on my own this week because the team are taking a lovely well-earned rest after Christmas and a hectic year last year. I've got a very special show coming up for you today. We have our Shout Out Panto. It's all going to get a little bit horror. Stay with me for the next hour. Hello and a happy new year to you. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a very happy New Year's Eve when you were celebrating last night. Did you join us last week? If you did, how well did you do at the quizzes? I hope you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to record. And it's very unusual. We don't normally go out on Christmas Day or New Year's Day either. So it's quite an unusual year for us this year. Now, it may sound a lot more calm this year in certain bits. The quiz was a little bit up and down, but this show, certainly because I'm on my own, will be a lot calmer than they normally are. Doesn't always start like this. We'd like to think we're professional. We're not. We are genuinely amateurs. We do this for love, not money. Have a listen to this, though. This is the start of the 2023 Christmas show, when I did a quiz as well. And I thought I'd be really cool and really modern and say, if you don't want to use a pen and paper, use a tablet. And I learned to regret that afterwards. Have a listen. Yes, it's that time of year. It's the Shout Out Christmas Cracker. Grab yourself a pen and paper, or if you want to be more modern, your tablet or your phone or something, and play along as the rest of the team let their hair down, for those of us that have got any, for a bit of Christmas fun. All today, right here on Shout Out. Hello everyone.
Hello.
Merry Christmas.
That's very festive.
Evening all.
Yeah. I thought I'd get some new jingles for this year.
So oh, I did. Yes, yeah. I thought they were new.
Yeah. This is lovely.
It is, it's cool, isn't it?
I feel like a little elf.
Yeah. Well, you've got the ears.
We have to write on a tablet or something. I need my Viagra for later. I can't write on it. You know? Come on.
Oh, we've started off strong.
Well, Christmas is here, goodbye, everyone. Listeners. It was a good show.
There you go. So, yeah, if ever there was a way to throw us, it's always Terry. Almost always it's Terry that catches us out. But good Christmas fun nonetheless. So, now, how would you like to get a little bit spooky? Very unusual for a Christmas panto, but this one's more horror. Now, I say horror, they're all comedy, and they're a bit of light-hearted fun. There's a lot of innuendo in there. Please don't be offended. It's that time of year, we thought we'd have a bit of fun. Have a listen to this. This is a Christmas horror. Ha 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 ha. Welcome, my lords, ladies, gentlemen, and glorious variations thereof to the Christmas horror story. Who doesn't love to be given the willies at Christmas?
I'm saying nothing.
At this time of year, huddled up with a foaming pint of grog, you cannot beat macabre tales of ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night.
Bagsy the ghoulies if no one else fancies them.
Come closer to the wireless, for today we're going to tell a tale that will send shivers down your spine.
I can feel the shivers down my spine already.
Me too.
Oh, and me.
I can't.
Well, not even one.
Nope. Not so much as a collywobble.
You have to be different, don't you? Terry, can I have a bit of reverb on this old mic for the next bit?
Sorry, old Mike said he couldn't make the recording. He said he washed his sense of being in the slightest bit bothered last night and now can't do a thing with it. I can give you some echo if that helps.
Yes, please. Right, here goes. Once upon a midnight dreary... Oh, Terry, that's a little bit too much echo there. Can you dial it down a bit? Listeners won't be able to follow my performance.
Leave it, Terry. That's public service broadcasting.
As I was saying, once upon a midnight dreary...
Here, who are you calling dreary, dearie?
While I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten tales.
What's he on about?
Oh, he's on the Poe.
Well, he should have gone before he started. I did.
So did I. And I'm still going.
You?
No. He's on the Edgar Allan Poe. It's atmospheric.
While I nodded, nearly napping.
I've read the script. You'll be in a coma by the end of Act One.
Suddenly, there came a tapping. No, not that kind of tapping. As of someone gently rapping on my bedroom door.
Oh, that'll be Snoop Doggy Doodah. He loves a bit of rapping, he does. Speaking of Doggy Doo, what's that smell?
Terry!
Sorry, I had a four bean salad and a pickled egg for my lunch.
But do you mind? I was just getting to the bit about the raven.
Raven? Raven lunacy, more like.
Open here, I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped the stately raven of the saintly days of yore.
Is that supposed to be a raven?
Shout out cutbacks, I'm afraid. 'Twas all we could afford.
Then the ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling.
My fancy hasn't smiled in a many a year.
Been a while since anyone's tickled it, eh, Steph?
By the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no raven, ghastly grim and ancient raven.
Wait, wait, wait.
What is it, Steph?
Andy, I think I can feel the shiver down my spine now.
Oh, it could just be a draft.
But we're in an airtight recording studio.
No. It must be a draft, I tell you.
No, Andy, this ain't no draft. Believe it or not, this is the finished script.
I definitely feel a movement in the air.
Oops, sorry, I had prunes to follow my lentil soup.
Terry!
Anyway, back to the plot. We move from shivers down the spine, we're further into the poem of the raven, so it's more a case of spine tingling that we're after.
I can feel a tingling coming on, but it's not in my spine.
Terry!
Where was I? Oh yes, ghastly grim and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordy name is on the night's plutonium shore. Quote the raven nevermore.
Well, I think your raven has flown the coop, dear. All I can see here is half a cuttlefish and a bowl of trill. Weird, though. That wasn't there before.
This seems to be an appropriate time to make my entrance.
Who are you?
My name is Baron Clapper.
That rings a bell.
We are a family of athletes.
Yes, no one can run like the Clappers.
Hang on, we're not in the studio anymore, where are we?
Welcome to my secret lair. As you can see, I have installed a fully functional pit, and above you, a pendulum, which isn't actually fully functional, so sorry about that.
It is in a bit of a state, isn't it? Did it break?
Yes, I had to cobble it back together with a glue stick.
Is that what you'd call the prit and the pendulum?
I don't get it. How did we suddenly get from the radio studio into a secret lair? It just makes no sense.
Radio, my dear fellow. You can get away with anything on the wireless. Your recital of that Edgar Allan poem, see what I did there, was so full of dread that it transported you all by dark magic into my Transylvanian castle.
Yes, Andy's reading was full of dread, or should I say, dreadful.
Oh, suddenly now everyone's a critic. Where exactly is this castle, anyway?
It is in the Transylvanian village called Dude E Splits. You are all welcome to Dude E Splits.
Not now, thank you. Not as supple as I once was.
it is a little known fact that if you quote from the Raven on the radio over the Christmas period, you manifest a corridor through time and space and dark dimensions that allows the Raven to bring you here to me.
I see. That's perfectly plausible for the purposes of this script. But where is said Raven?
Oh, ruddy hell. Has someone left the Raven's cage door open for crying out loud? It'll have got into the castle keep again. I'll be clearing up its messages for weeks. It's bad enough when it perches on the pendulum. Oh, one swing, and it splatters its doings all up the pit wall.
A little bit of a slit bang will get that one off no time. But tell me, Baron, what are you going to do with us now that we're all here?
I am creating a creature in my laboratory from organs I have harvested from the living.
You fiend!
Hang on, I haven't finished my sinister laugh.
Finished?
For now. You see, I need body parts to refresh my evil creation, and you will provide me with what I need.
Acting lessons?
Yeah, I could use that part and, oh, goodness, two of those bits, definitely. And that part there, sticking out, and, oh dear, that part. That part is no good to me.
It's none too useful to me either these days.
And how exactly are you planning to overpower us to harvest our organs? I don't know if you've noticed, but there are three of us and only one of you.
Fools, fools, incompetent cretins. Do you think I would sully my hands with such work? I have my servant, a true creature of the night, to do my bidding.
Oh, I hate doing my own bidding. The things I bought on eBay after a drunken night.
Cower and quake, you mortal fools. For here may I introduce you to my most horrible, terrifying creation. Enter now and apprehend these pitiful souls.
Which feels like a perfectly good spot to end part one of our Christmas ghost story.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Welcome back, dear erudite listeners. In Act 1, you may recall, we left our intrepid heroes in a right pretty pickle.
Time was, Andy. I flatter myself. My pickle was considered one of the prettiest in the whole of Bristol. It was gilded, like a lily.
A pickle lily?
Yeah, all right. Thanks for your input. But if you don't mind, I'm setting the scene for Act 2 now. So echo on, please. London, 1846. Lancashire, 78 for 4. Oh, no, sorry, that's a cricket score. Hang on, let me start again. Transylvania, 1846.
Why, that's nearly 10 to 7.
With a sinister creak, the door of the dungeon opened. An ungodly luminescence cast hideous shadows at the top of the stairs. Now, we did have an extremely funny joke to include here, but we couldn't afford the copyright to play any music by the shadows.
I was always up for a bit of Hank Marvin, but Bristol's erstwhile mayor was having none of it.
Slowly lumbering down down. Down the stone stairs lurched an inhuman apparition. Frozen in terror, our heroes gawped, slack-jawed at the monstrous creature that stood before them.
Here, I'll have you know, my jaw isn't slack.
That's a minor miracle with the exercise it gets.
Step by step lumbered the grotesque travesty. Eyes ablaze with cold fury, its repugnant aspect seemed to suck the very oxygen out of the cold, damp air around it.
Gazooks! Poor Terry. He's been driven hysterical by the sheer terror of it all. Hang on, what did we learn in grade 1 first aid? If someone is hysterical, either kiss them or slap them. Well, here goes.
Oh no! Now where's his screaming too? Typical. Leave it to me. Right. Both of you, calm down. Ooh, I enjoyed that. Andy, back to the narration, if you will.
Something monstrous stirred within the creature, guttural, primal even, and as they met its baleful gaze, the creature at last spoke.
Oh, hello, duckies. I'm Dank, Baron Clapper's number one.
Does he have a number two?
Oh, yes, regular as clockwork he is.
Ah, there you are, Dank. Come here right away.
Yes, Master.
Here, why has he changed his voice all of a sudden? Master says, I have to do it for effect, dear. The Baron thinks it adds a bit of gravitas, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know.
Oh, to be fair, I do love me a bit of moaning and groaning and rattling of chains. Trouble is, the only chain he lets me have is the one on me bike. So if I come in here rattling that, it'll be at least 15 minutes later on in the yard with an oily rag trying to put the blimmin' thing back on my rally sprinter.
Dank, cease this prattling at once. Takes these mortals down to the oubliette of doom, where they can languish until I am ready to harvest their organs for my fiendish experiments. Tells them I should be with them by midnight. I've just got to try and get hold of the spirits of the dead first, run up a quick corned beef hash for supper, and if there's time, watch Bake Off on catch up.
Yes, Master.
Well, don't just stand there. Take them away.
Oh, you heard the man this way, dear.
Wait, hang on a sec. Baron, did I hear you say that you need to converse with the dead?
You did. What of it?
Well, Terry's been dabbling in the occult, you know. He's been a bit of learning to converse with the dear departed. He's really pleased with himself.
He is?
Yes. He's a happy medium.
Prove it.
Of course. Terry, do as you are bidden.
This is our chance. You can call upon the spirits to help and get us out of this mess, mate. I'll try. Hang on. I need to get into the spectral mood. Woo, woo. Oh, sooth.
What the blazes is he doing now?
He's soothsaying.
Is there anybody there, oh foul spirits of the night? Can you hear my expulsions?
No, but we can smell them.
Who are you, oh spirit of the great beyond?
Great beyond? You're saying I've got a big body? Oh, the cheek of it!
Not at all. Very pert. Both cheeks. Oh. Tell me your name, oh spirit.
I be Spencer Smellesy, the spectacularly spurious spirit of Spalding.
Who's he talking to? He's speaking in tongues, he is. He likes tonguing the great behind, he does.
Don't you mean the great beyond?
I know what I means.
Ask him if my great aunt Fanny's up there with him.
Oh, Spencer Spalacy, the spectacularly spurious spirit of Spalding. I have a message from my sponsor, Andy. He wants to know if Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland, is up there with you.
Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland? That foul flapper of Finnish fromage is no friend of fine, formidable phantoms like me.
What did he say?
Spencer Spalacy, the spectacularly spurious spirit of Spalding, says that Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland, is a foul flapper of Finnish fromage and is no friend of fine, formidable phantoms like him.
Well, what does that mean?
He's not into Fanny.
Well, tell Spencer Spellacy, the spectacularly spurious spirit of Spalding, that although he says that Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland, is a foul flapper of Finnish fromage and is no friend of fine, formidable phantoms like him, Fanny Funty frequently frequented fabulous food factories all over France and fervently freshened up the phrenological phase of the French Freemasons in doing so.
Oh, Spencer Spellacy, the spectacularly spurious spirit of Spalding. My sponsor says that although Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland, is a foul flapper of Finnish fromage and is no friend of fine, formidable phantoms like you, Fanny Funty frequently frequented fabulous food factories all over France and fervently freshened up the phrenological phase of the French Freemasons in doing so.
The phrenological phase of the French Freemasons, you say? Yes, it's not then the Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland, who was the spasmodic spokesperson of the sparky, spiky Spanish sprout-splattering spectators, was she?
Oh, Spencer Spellacy, the spectacularly spurious spirit of Spalding, asks if Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland, that foul flapper of Finnish fromage, who is no friend of fine, formidable phantoms like him, wants to know if Fanny Funty, who frequently frequented fabulous food factories all over France and who fervently freshened up the phrenologically phrase of the French Freemasons in doing so, is the same Fanny Funty who was the spasmodic spokesperson of the sparky, spiky Spanish sprout-splattering spectators.
No.
Oh, Spencer Spellacy, the spectacularly spurious spirit of Spalding. My sponsor says that Fanny Funty, the fantastic fun-filled fondue finder from Finland, that foul flapper of Finnish fromage, is not the spasmodic spokesperson of the sparky, spiky Spanish sprout-splattering spectators.
I didn't think so.
He says he didn't think so.
I don't believe him. I think the ghost is lying.
Why did you say that?
I can see right through him.
Should I tell him about our plight, Andy, to see if he can call upon the spirit world to help extricate us from this dilemma?
Oh, I wouldn't bother, Terry.
Why not?
Well, two reasons. Firstly, it'll take all day, and this is only an hour-long show. And secondly, Baron Clapper can hear everything we just said.
Yes, I am still here, you know.
Oh, yes, I didn't think of that. Okay, let me soothe again. Be gone, foul spirit. Be at rest. Before you go, is there anything you need to know about the mortal realm?
Just one thing. In life, I was a big admirer of the American political system. Tell me, are the fine dreams of the Founding Fathers, the presidency of the greatest nation of the free world, is that role currently in safe hands?
Sorry, I think I'm losing the spectral signal. Ooh, I think my crystal ball is going through a tunnel. Gotta go, bye!
Wait, Dank. I may have another use for these people after all. Your ability to converse with the dead may very well have saved you from languishing in the oubliette of doom. Instead, Dank, take them upstairs to the guest rooms. I will address them later in Act 3.
Well, let's hope I get more to do in Act 3. I've been underused again. I'm a trained thespian, I tell you, trained. I'm the most versatile performer here, but it counts for nothing. Let me tell you, Baron Clapper, no one will ever forget the occasion I was tasked with miming the classic A Town Like Alice. I chose to channel the author into my performance right in front of him. So successful was it that the whole audience gasped in amazement when they saw Neville shoot in my face.
Is she always like this?
Afraid so.
Yes, I'm capable of so much more, I am. I once did a Commonwealth tour with the RSC. The crowd gasped in amazement when I jumped up and displayed my passage to India for a full 5 minutes. Oh yes, I used to work myself to a frazzle, miming any film the audience cared to name. I once nearly collapsed on stage after receiving the Dirty Dozen, but let me tell you, I could still cope with the sting afterwards.
Ez, we'll make sure you got more to do in Act 3, I promise. But for now, let's cut to some music before Ofcom cancels our license.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
We'll be right back.
welcome back, dear erudite listeners, to the third and thankfully final act of our little Christmas ghost story. So, to recap, we left our intrepid... Oh, hang on, sorry, that's a misprint. We left our tepid shout-out hosts in the company of the evil Baron Clapper and his faithful servant Dank in the gothic castle that belongs to the Clapper clan.
And for the purposes of this act, I will be playing the part of the castle. I stand athwart the mountain peak, solid in aspect, firm and erect above the hamlets huddled below. I am a bastion.
Yep, no one's going to disagree with that. See, Ez? The rumours are true.
Baron Clapper was initially going to carve the crew and provide body parts for his insane experiments, but suddenly he's had a change of heart.
I'm quite well stocked on hearts at the moment, you see. The freezer is full of them. We had a party of Republicans in last week, and it turns out they didn't need them.
We're doing political satire now, are we?
Stop bickering, you lot. Come on, let's get on with the play. Basically, our heroes are now guests of the Baron. Night is falling, and they're about to retire for the night. Come on, Terry, lower your drawbridge, will you? Terry, I said drawbridge. Oh, you dirty... And those drawers are long overdue a rinse. Cue music. Cue effects. And action.
Who does he think he is? Alfred Hitchcock?
Alfred half-cocked, if you ask me.
Dank, get our guests some refreshments, will you?
Yes, master.
I fancy a full-blooded wine.
Most certainly, Dank. Lock the dog outside. It's freezing out there. How about that for a vine? Full-bodied enough? Please forgive me. I must depart. I still haven't caught up on Bake Off. But treat this castle as your own.
Baron, you look different from what you did in Act 2.
Do I? Yes, well... You see, as we passed the window, I gazed upon the full moon, and suddenly, with a loss of control that was terrifying, I found myself changing into something horrible.
That's it! Those lemon chintz pyjamas with the purple dressing gown.
I'm just trying to brighten the place up. You see, I have acquired this decrepit manner.
Oh, really, dearie? I've heard you've always been like this.
Quiet all, the clock is striking.
Yes, it is rather lovely, isn't it?
Personally, I rather like it here, Baron. Ooh, those are pretty. What are they?
Oh, them. They are the maid's quarters. But she's standing up now.
You have a maid?
Not really, it's just Dank in a frock.
Couldn't quite pass for a buxom country girl. He's more like a ghastly apparition. A horrible, haggard, bitter old hag.
And the next line has been removed by request of J.K. Rowling's lawyers. Shh. Listen. Can you hear that terrible creak?
Yeah, it's a plot if you ask me.
Oh, I think the Baron's got a point.
We know, I can see it through his pyjama bottoms.
Night draws on.
Night draws? Oops, I only brought one pair.
Night draws on, and I think it's time we should all retire.
Ducky, we've been saying you lot should retire for years.
I must away, to spend the night on my virgin couch.
Virgin on the ridiculous, if you ask me.
Dank, show everyone to their chambers. Remember, my friends, to lock your windows securely. There's tales told of a troubled soul who walks the corridors. I once caught a glimpse of it. I recall those staring eyes, the foul breath, and those terrible, ghastly teeth.
Why am I suddenly thinking of Janet Street Porter?
It wasn't that foul. To your rooms, sleep well, and keep your wits about you.
I'll be okay. I've got a lucky rabbit's foot.
Here, ain't that a misprint in the script?
No, I'm 5% Jewish on my father's side.
See, Steph, I knew he had a father. Those rumours simply weren't true.
He went missing, but I was a wee child.
A wee child? Why do you say it like that? You're not Scottish.
No, but I was incontinent. We searched every town, every village, every nook we did.
Did you search any crannies?
No, in those days we stuck mainly to nooks and couldn't afford a cranny. We'd spent all our money on the finest private detectives that money could buy.
Consulting detectives? Did you try Holmes?
Yes, Dr. Bernardo's, Eamon and the Battersea Dogs mainly.
And as our heroes recover from that terrible pun, they did indeed retire to their respective rooms and spend the night in Clapper Towers, which is just as well as they were all fairly clapped out. But in the night, Andy was awoken by strange sounds coming from the corridor outside his room. Who's there? Oh, Steph, it's you. What are you doing wandering around the corridors?
I passed a sleepless night. His name was Sir Patrick of Heart, a nobleman with his head held high. Trouble is, it was under his left arm. I think this place is haunted, Andy.
Oh, really? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Go back to sleep.
I'll never sleep. I'm doomed to wander these corridors forever. Searching, searching.
I think it's down there, first door on the right, love.
You're not in this bit.
Sorry.
Well, I'd better be, or I'm on the phone to my agent again.
Oh, well, right. You could be wandering down the corridors as well. If it'll keep you quiet.
Thank you. Oh, and by the way, Steph is right. This place is haunted. I've been fending off werewolves with my amulet, zombies with my talisman, and timeshare salesmen with my credit rating.
If I recall correctly, Baron Clapper's laboratory is down the elaborate gilded staircase through that spectacular ballroom.
I could do with some spectacular ballroom right now. These pyjamas are a size too small.
May I remind you, Sunshine, you're not in this bit.
Yeah, you tell him, Andy. I could have had that line. Second thoughts, maybe not.
Anyway, as I was saying, through the spectral ballroom, left in the grand banqueting hall, and then first right past the smallest room in the house.
At last.
Oh, come on, chums. Let's investigate the lab. Come on, follow me.
Not sure I can, Andy. My legs have turned to jelly.
Well, they say it is a season to be jelly. Here, listen. I got a ta-da. Finally, my first ever ta-da in a shout-out panto. At last, I'm recognised for the comic genius I am. Oh, and shouldn't we bring Terry along with us? Where is he, by the way?
Last I saw him, he was tipping the butler down the stairs.
I wonder what all those bangs and crashes were. Let's quietly call him.
Terry!
You called?
Blimey, that was quick.
I had the strangest feeling you'd all call me. I felt an unholy presence.
Well, it wouldn't be Christmas without some presents.
What type of presence? It was a wraith. I couldn't take my eyes off her.
Why is that?
My eyelashes were caught in her bustle.
And yet somehow knew we were calling you.
Ennui it was. I had a strange feeling of ennui.
Oh dear, has your catheter slipped again, Terry?
Never mind all that. Look, it's only an hour show. Let's get a wiggle on and further investigate that laboratory, shall we? And indeed, our heroes crept cryptically into the decrepit crypt where they found the Baron performing his unholy experiments on a poor hapless victim who was strapped to the operating table by a long, thin steel band. No, not that type of steel band, you great hairy nit. To their horror, they saw that the poor soul was being experimented on was none other than Baron's manservant, Dank.
Oh no, sorry to butt in. It is not Dank, it is his cousin, Quasimodo.
That name sounds familiar.
Yes, it does ring a bell, doesn't it?
Yes, it's your line next.
Oh, it is. Oh, yes, it's my chance to flex my acting muscles to their fullest. Baron, you foul fiend, you malicious monster, you demonic devil, you revolting... Help me out here, guys.
Rogue?
Rake?
Raspberry?
Raspberry?
Sorry, I knew it was my turn to suggest something. I panicked.
Raspberry, I ask you. Leave me alone, you lot. I never wanted to be a mad scientist, you know. It was my overbearing parents that carved out this career for me. I wanted to be a mad florist, sat among my blooms, flicking at my pussy willow. But they told me there's no market for mad florists, so science became my calling.
That's parents for you. But don't you see? It's Christmas. At Christmas, magic things happen. You could turn your back on all this evil genius malarkey, follow your dream and open that flower shop. This castle could be the start of a movement. Bohemia in bloom.
Tempting. But I fear I'm stuck in this path of evil. I mean, I probably need new bank accounts, and there's my mad evil scientist pension to think about. And I can't see Dank here tugging away at a bunch of pansies.
Oh, I don't know so much. You never know till you try.
And anyway, what would I do with this beautiful creature I've been creating?
Listeners, we would describe the fearsome aspect of the apparition that stood before our heroes, but beautiful it was not. We would fully tell of the diabolical spectre that they encountered there and the devilish place. But these days, there's a lot of censorship on community radio.
You can't possibly say that.
Why not?
Because it's not allowed. Read the terms of your broadcasting license.
There's a broadcasting license?
You didn't know? That explains how the previous pantos were broadcast.
Suddenly, unexpected, and without warning, a bolt of lightning struck the castle.
Ow!
The creature stirred, broke its cruel bonds, and intent on freedom, leapt through the creaking doorway and mounted the steps.
Lisa Scott Lee was most offended, but H seemed to enjoy the process.
Before our heroes could react, Andy heroically picked up his trusty mallet and drove a pork chop through the creature's heart.
Shouldn't that be a steak, Andy?
Not a $7.99 an ounce, no, this is Shoutout's budget after all, Steph. The creature wailed a horrid wail. Clutched its midriff and confused agony. Thrashing wildly, it staggered through the laboratory. Do we have any thrashing sound effects, Terry? Mm-hmm.
Sorry, no. We got a whale. Will that do?
Oh, yeah, whale, well, yeah. Yeah, all right. And as it's thrashing, it wheezed uncontrollably. And finally, it convulsed no more and delicately expired on the cold, hard floor.
Oh, my poor creature. Its life so brief. Think of all the possibilities. It could have been anything it wanted. A debutante, a crusader for good, a bon vivant. Oh, for heaven's sake, hurry up and die. I can't be expected to do a moving eulogy while you just lie there farting out your last.
And then suddenly, seemingly from nowhere, a ghost-like apparition appeared from the ether and took the poor creature into its bosomly embrace to somewhere beyond the final curtain.
It's some spectral spirit from beyond the veil. But why now?
It must be the Christmas spirit.
Christmas spirit? Oh yeah, good idea. Just a small one for me. Oh, maybe a medium for the medium. I do like a good eggnog, I do. Any type of nog, really, but definitely an eggy one.
Yes, we know. It's written on the castle toilet walls with your number underneath.
My number? I seldom give that out. It's confidential information.
We've all got your number, dear. Well, now that my creature is gone, my work here is done. Steph, maybe you are right. It is time to move on. I will open that flower shop and live happily ever after. And you are all welcome to stay in my castle for the Yuletide period. Christmas in duty splits. Dank, open up the sherry vine. Hooray, mince pies all round.
Happy Christmas, everyone! Raise your glass high to the listeners at home!
Terry, he said raise your glass high, not raise your glass eye.
Sorry, it's back in the socket now.
Cheers all, salute!
Prost!
Careful, Terry, don't forget you're allergic to sherry. It makes you sneeze.
Merry Christmas, everyone, and good health. Baron, I've never seen anyone put olives in a glass of sherry before.
Oops-a-daisy. Oh, dear. My eye has popped back out of its socket. Andy, I think we'd better swap glasses.
Oh. But the raven still beguiling all my fancy into smiling. Straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of the bird and bust and door.
What is he on about now?
Oh, my God, he's back on the po.
Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore.
Bird of yore? Why is everyone looking at me all of a sudden?
What this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking nevermore. Happy Christmas, one and all.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And a very happy new year to you too. That was, of course, the lovely, iconic ABBA. Kind of seemed like a fitting way to start the new year off. So what did you think? Did you enjoy the horror? Did it, like, horrify you? Or were you more horrified by the acting? I don't know. Anyway, as long as it put a smile on your face and made you chuckle, that's the whole reason we do it. So, now, if you are interested in getting involved in Shout Out, we would love to hear from you, whether you want to be a guest on the show because you're doing something amazing, perhaps you're organising a group or doing something for the community or whatever it is. We've got a whole year ahead of us. And, of course, the Shout Out Listeners Awards will return at the end of the year as well. Of course, if you'd like to get involved in radio and actually help us make the show, again, get in touch. We're always looking for loads of people, from the odd person who can do some reporting to attending an event to coming on here reading the news, presenting, etc. There's a lot goes on behind the scenes to keep the show going throughout the year. Into our 16th year now. I can't believe it's actually 16 years we'll hit this June. So if you have been listening since the start, thank you so much. If you're new, a very warm welcome to you. Hope you enjoy everything 2026 has to offer. We'll be back same time next week as we kick off our normal shows for the rest of the year. But from myself and the entire Shout Out Radio team, have a very, very happy new year. We wish you well. Catch you next week. Bye-bye.